thank the choir and Sister Holly for the marvelous job that God has helped us to do.
Amen.
We have come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. Now let us prepare our hearts for the message. Put on the old armor of God. Our pastor, let's be praying for our pastor, please. Let us help to keep the children quiet.
Thank you, choir. Looking good in your black and white. I think I heard a new choir voice, too.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You always do such a nice job, and we appreciate you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks again. We cannot thank you enough. Because of your grace and your mercy and your love for us is above our understanding. Father, we thank you that you brought us together this morning in this place. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Use even me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. It has been said by scientists that if you placed a frog in cold water and place it over a fire, gradually heating the water, the frog would not try to escape until it was too late. He would gradually adjust to the temperature as it rose, and by the time it became too hot for him to handle, he was already being boiled to death. That's what complacency can do to us. We exist in a world where there's increasing sinfulness, and many of us are gradually adjusting to the world to be comfortable in it. I'm afraid that we will end up like that frog.
Amen.
And by the time we realize that it's too hot for us to handle, it might just be too late.
Yeah.
Sin is rampant. The devil is busy going around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We who are Christians must realize that we are indeed in a war. Spiritual warfare is real. And as Christian soldiers, our responsibility is imperative. Some time ago, my wife and I had the pleasure of visiting our son who is in the army. And every time I visit a military base, I'm reminded of the hard work and dedication of a soldier. The dictionary describes a soldier as a skilled and experienced fighter who works with total dedication to a cause. As Christians, our cause requires of us the same skill, experience, and total dedication to be effective. A soldier must be disciplined.
Amen.
He is always on time and knows what is expected of him. He knows exactly what his boundaries are, and that the consequences of crossing those boundaries are severe. In like manner, a soldier of the Lord is disciplined in his prayer life and Bible study, whether at home, at work, or play. He is always aware of the boundaries set forth in the Word of God and lives within those boundaries, whatever the cost. A good soldier is well trained. A Christian soldier's training comes from the Bible. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A good soldier is trustworthy and obedient. He must be obedient to his superior officers, even unto death. A Christian soldier must be totally obedient to God's word. He or she must trust in God totally and do what he tells him or her to do. The hymn writer says it this way: "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." A good soldier is a team worker. As skilled and trained as a soldier might be, he knows that he cannot win a war on his own, nor can he rely on his strength alone. Likewise, a soldier of the Lord does not rely on his own strength, but his strength comes from the Lord, and we must strengthen and support each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing that as we do kindness unto one of the least of these, we do it unto the Lord. A good soldier is his brother's keeper. He cannot be self-centered. One of the first things I noticed right away is that, especially when soldiers are off base in uniform, they are never alone. They always walk in pairs. If they are seated, they sit across from each other so that they can watch each other's back. As believers, we never walk alone. For he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. As Christian soldiers, brothers and sisters, we have to walk together.
Amen.
We must care about each other. Amen. Caring about each other starts with worshiping together. Hebrews 10:25 says, "We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." You know, a few years ago in Keswick, Brother Chin said, "Staying home and joining bedside Baptists won't cut it." A good soldier has confidence in his superiors, his commanders, and his commanding officer, commander-in-chief. Jesus is our commander-in-chief. If we are his soldiers, then we must place our total confidence in him. A good soldier is brave. A soldier who is a coward will not survive for long. You know, you very rarely see a soldier cry. And one day, when the commanding officer had his troops all lined up for inspection, as he inspected them in formation, he came to one who had tears running down his face. He shouted in his ear, "Are you crying, soldier? What's the matter? Do you miss your mama?" "No, sir," the soldier replied. "Don't you know a soldier never cries?" "I'm not crying, sir." "Then what is that I see running down your face?" "My eyeballs are sweating, sir," he replied. A good soldier must be strong. David said in Psalm 27, "The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" And Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
And if you look at verse 10 of Ephesians 6, which we read earlier, it says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I know that sometimes the pressures of a sinful world presses in on us, and we sometimes feel as though all our strength is gone. We feel like we just can't go on. Just remember that the God we serve is the creator of the universe. He is omnipotent and almighty God. So when our strength is weak, He is strong. Isaiah 40:29-31 says this. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Thank you, Lord.
Probably the most important thing that a soldier must know is who the enemy is. If there is any misunderstanding or lack of clarity as to who the enemy is, the outcome could be disastrous.
Amen.
As Christian soldiers, we too must be clear about who the enemy is. Who are we wrestling with? Who causes us pain and heartache? Who leads us into sin and causes us to get discouraged and depressed? Who causes us, like the frog in the boiling water, to sit complacently and unconcerned about a fallen world around us, with people dying every day and going to hell because they do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Who does that? As we look again at Ephesians 6:10-20, I want us to consider three A's that come to us from this passage. The first A is adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And if you look at verses 11 through 12 of Ephesians 6, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How can we, who are flesh and blood, fight in our own strength against that which is spiritual? We cannot, not in our own strength. God knows that, and so He provides an armor for us. One which cannot be penetrated by the enemy. One which will protect us from the devil's attack. Hence the second A, I want you to remember, stands for armor. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. My friends, there is no doubt that the evil day will come. Some of us are experiencing those days right now. Know that God has not abandoned you. Know that He has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. Know that He has prepared an armor for your protection. Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. He did not say put on a helmet and leave your chest exposed. He did not say put on a breastplate and leave your loins exposed. He did not say that you should carry a sword and leave your shield. He said put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand and withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Let's take a closer look at the armor. The armor, this armor, which the Lord has provided us for our protection. First, the Lord tells us in verse 14 to have our loins girt about with truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The Bible says God is the Spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And Psalm 105 says that the truth of God endures to all generations. So gird your loins with truth. Without truth, there's deceit. And the biggest deceiver is the devil. But he cannot penetrate the armor of God. For greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world.
Amen.
And then verse 14 says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. By putting on righteousness, we purify ourselves. The process of purification begins in our hearts. The breastplate protects the heart. For Christ will present us faultless before God through His grace and the cleansing power of His blood. Isaiah 59:16 and 17 say, and he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and the helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Back to Ephesians 6, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The armored feet remind us to watch our step. They remind us that as Christian soldiers, we might have a difficult road to travel and a difficult race to run. But if our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, we will always follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Each footstep must be firmly planted. We cannot afford to slip, for only by the protection of God can we overcome the difficulties and hardships of life. Continuing with the armor of God, verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Your shield of faith protects all of you. Regardless of what angle the devil attacks you from, your shield will protect you. Therefore, our faith must remain strong and lively and sincere. Notice the first two words of verse 16 says above all, which means that faith is of primary importance. If there is no faith, there is no protection. And verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet protects the head. And in a fight, the head is usually one of the first places the enemy aims to attack. First Thessalonians 5 verses 8 and 9 say, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now I'd like us to consider the third A, which stands for attitude. Up until now, all the important parts of the armor we have examined are to protect us from the attacks of the devil. But as we consider the sword of the Spirit mentioned in verse 17, we realize that God does not only expect us to shield ourselves against attacks from the devil, but indeed to be on the offensive and attack him with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, and which the devil cannot withstand. Our attitude, therefore, has to be one of confidence in the word of God. Our attitude as a good Christian soldier must be one of praise, one of worship, one of prayer, never giving up, regardless of the circumstances. Some of us are worried because we don't know whether or not we'll have a job 3 months from now. We need to worry less and pray more.
Amen.
The Bible says that we cannot change a single hair on our heads by worrying. Our attitude should be one influenced only by the Holy Spirit, for God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yes, yes.
The end of verse 18 reminds us that our prayers should not only be for ourselves, but for all the saints. We are our brother's keeper. Matthew 25:40 says, "For as much as you do it unto one of the least of these, you do it unto me." And verse 13 also calls us to watch while we pray. Matthew 25:13 says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." My friends, I believe that most of us here today are feeling the pressures of life in one way or another. Some have lost jobs. Others have lost loved ones. Some have lost their life savings. Others have lost their homes. Some are worried about their bills. Others are worried about their health. Some are constantly in prayer for lost children or spouses or family members. Others are constantly being prayed for that they would come to the realization that they need Jesus Christ and their life is meaningless without him. They need to realize that to live without God is to leave themselves vulnerable to the devil without the protection of the armor which God has provided for them. Some of us are partly armored and think we're totally protected. Hello?
Yes.
Without Jesus, you cannot stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Indeed, we must instead put on the whole armor, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Yes.
No matter what you're going through, my friend, God has provided for you victory over your situation. He will see you through. Andre Crouch said it right in the beautiful song he wrote, "Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I have learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His Word. You might be under attack by the devil right now. Armor yourself. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You may notice that only the front is armored. This is so because you are expected to face the enemy and fight. You have to face your problems, not turn and run away from them. If you do, they will only follow you and become more troublesome. If you feel cornered, remember the Israelites when they came to the banks of the Red Sea and had nowhere to go. They could not turn back because of the pursuit of the Egyptians, nor could they go forward because of the sea. All they could do was to put their trust in God, and He delivered them. Sometimes God has to bring us to a point of full surrender, a place where we have nowhere else to turn, a place where we have no choice but to trust Him totally. And perhaps you're here today, but you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I say to you today that Jesus is your only hope. You may have tried to fight your battles on your own with little success. You cannot win these battles on your own because your fight is not just against flesh and blood. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for you, so that your sins may be forgiven and so that you may spend eternity in heaven with Him. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Won't you say yes to Jesus today? In verses 19 and 20 of our passage in Ephesians 6, we see the word boldly used twice. You see, my friends, as verse 20 explains, having put on the whole armor of God, we are now ambassadors of God with His full protection, and therefore we can indeed be confident in our representation of Him. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way. I am the way, He said. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way. There is no other way. You cannot buy your salvation. You cannot work hard enough to earn it. You cannot cross enough old ladies across the street to get into heaven. Only by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I invite you today to lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus and leave them there. Put your trust in Him. And let Him empower you to overcome your struggles and your hardships. You too can be a good Christian soldier for the Lord. Won't you trust Him today? The hymn writer says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. You come to Him today saying, Lord, I need You. I cannot fight these battles alone. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. and be Lord and Master of my life. Won't you bow your heads for a moment, please? Every head bowed, please, and every eye closed. If you're here this morning and you've never given your heart to the Lord, you have an opportunity to do so right now. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you're saying this morning, Lord, I surrender my all to you. I cannot fight these battles on my own. I need a Savior. Won't you slip your hand up? And I will pray for you this morning. Slip your hand up indicating that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning. Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice for us. Where would we be had you not given your all for us? Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice who needs to make that decision today. Oh, Holy Spirit, continue to work in their hearts, I pray. And never cease until they turn to you and receive salvation. Receive forgiveness for their sins. Receive everlasting life. Oh, precious Lord, we thank you this morning. We worship you. We lift up praises to you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. As we make our transition into the Lord's Supper service, let us turn our hymnals to number 144, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.